You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
An horror. A young mom, Hillary, dies as her plastic surgeon hubby operates on her. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
The wife of a prominent Florida plastic surgeon dies in an operating chair during multiple procedures performed by her husband. What went wrong?
What did go wrong? And why is this young mom dead? Now, is it appropriate to be operating on your wife? I've got so many questions. Forget the impropriety of operating on your wife, if that's even true. She's dead. Are you supposed to be performing multiple procedures all at the same time? What happened in this case? Listen.
911, police, fire, ambulance. We have an unstable patient.
Okay. Are you there with the patient now?
Yes.
Okay. We do have help on the way. What exactly happened?
She was having surgery. This is a plastic surgery office. And she's unstable. She's having seizures.
Okay.
She's in cardiac arrest right now.
Okay. We have help coming, okay. Can you tell me what kind of operation she was getting?
Abdominal lipo, fat transfer, different things. I don't know them off the top of my head right now.
I don't know off the top of my head. What? Are you supposed to have all of that done at once? Joining me, an all-star panel, including Molly Barrows, investigative reporter, Pensacola News Journal, and host of podcast Gulf Coast Confidential, which is awesome. But first, I want to go to special guest Dr. Terry Dubrow, star in Botched and 7-Year Stitch on E!, and the author of Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. Okay, I'll address that later. But Dr. Dubrow, I want to get to your main line of work, and that is plastic surgery. You are renowned. Are you supposed to perform that many? First of all, I don't even know what the assistant was saying, because all I could hear is in the background, cardiac arrest, cardiac arrest. That's what got my attention. But she was spouting off a lot of procedures. Is the patient supposed to have all that done at once?
So it's extremely common to have all those procedures done at once. You know, the list of those procedures probably only takes about 3 hours. Here's what happened in this case. It has to be clarified, Nancy. This is a procedure done under local anesthesia with the patient awake by the patient's husband. You know, we have this expression in medicine, familiarity breeds incompetence and negligence. You need to keep a professional distance between you and your patients. And that's why it's discouraged, unless it's a specialized procedure that you happen to be the best in the world at, you should not be operating on your relative. Now, in this case, this is a clear-cut case of lidocaine overdose. Lidocaine overdose is when you exceed the amount of local anesthesia you should give the patient, and they become toxic. And what happens is you get cardiac toxicity. First, you go into seizures, then full cardiac arrest. The mistake is twofold here. One, this doctor clearly was negligent and gave too much local anesthesia. And two, when he should have made a prompt diagnosis and started early treatment, he didn't, and he delayed calling 911. And for that, that's why his wife is no longer alive.
Guys, you are hearing from our friend and renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Terry Dubrow. Joining me right now is a very special guest. It's Marty Ellington. This is Hillary's father. Marty, I am so sorry. I can't imagine. I have a beautiful daughter, just like you. And to me, she's completely perfect. I don't want her to change anything. Why? I mean, when I look at Hillary, she's perfect. Why did she have to have all this plastic surgery?
She didn't. She was absolutely gorgeous.
What got in her mind that she needed plastic surgery?
I don't know if she's seen other people have it done, and she thought that she could have it done also. I mean, you know, what fuels me is every day I'm learning something new. from statements made that he wanted to make his perfect Megan Fox.
Stop right there, Mr. Ellington. Okay, I do not like interrupting the father of a victim. But did you just hear, did I hear correctly that the plastic surgeon husband, Dr. Ben Brown, wanted his own perfect private Megan Fox? Did you just say that?
Yes.
Okay, maybe it's me, but I love my husband just like he is. And one of the reasons I married him is he likes me just like I am. In fact, he prefers me without all my fake hair and makeup. Can I just say that?
Amen.
Why would... That just breaks my heart. Because Hillary, beautiful on the inside and out, a mother to three children, ages 4 through 8, devoted mom, and now she's dead, completely avoidable, like Dr. Dubrow just told us. What do you mean that by that? He wanted his own private, perfect Megan Fox.
I know, like I said, we hear these stories every day, and it just builds more and more. That's probably the fuel that keeps me going. As much as we're hurt, my wife and I have, our life is forever changed. But, you know, we have to fight for her. And we hear, you know, we hear these things about him and what he's done, and it's on and on and on. That's what fuels us to keep going and fight for her.
I'm looking at a before and after, and I think whoever told you that was telling the truth, because I'm looking at her and she looks like a natural blonde, completely natural, beautiful, out at the beach with her children. And then when I look at the after, she does. She is starting to look like Megan Fox. I mean, I don't understand this. Guys, I'm hearing in my ear, we are just being joined by Brandy Fitzsimmons, a former patient of the husband in question, Dr. Ben Brown. Brandy, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
When you, I don't know if you can see the before and after, but I got to tell you, I think she's beautiful before. And the after.
She is stunning.
She doesn't look real, like... I'm not going to name a name, but when I was a prosecutor, a famous movie star came to shadow me during, it was a plea and arraignment calendar, and it lasted several days. And I'd seen her on the screen many times, but when I saw her in person, it looked like a grown lady, beautiful, but it looked like somebody had taken the nose off of a 7 or 8 year old little girl and put it in the middle of her face. Of course, I never said anything, but it didn't look right. I'm just a trial lawyer. I don't really know how to describe this. Maybe Dr. Dubrow can help me. But Brandy, what was your experience with the doctor? And I want to point out, we invited Brown on. Never heard a word back. Gee, I wonder why, Jackie. Wonder why he didn't want to come on and answer my questions. But go ahead, Brandy. What happened?
From the get-go, my first consultation, I didn't really have any red flags. I did only go to him. I attempted to make an appointment at another facility. Long story, I ended up just bailing on that one. So I continued with Dr. Brown. He was very straightforward. I showed him a couple of pictures of what I looked like prior to kind of gaining my little stomach pooch. And he kind of gave me this idea that I was going to walk away with this athletic build look, abs and everything. Wasn't really funny, but I wasn't looking for a comedian. I was looking for a surgeon who seemed like they knew what they were talking about. I didn't realize what I was going to get myself into. The first procedure I had went into, it was a hospital, Baptist Hospital in Pensacola. It was an extended tummy tuck with muscle repair, implant exchange. He was to do some lipo on my back and my arms and take some of that fat injection and fill in the C points. They call them hip dips. That's all I consented to. That's all I wanted. I have it in writing 3 separate times, whether it was in text or an email, that I did not want a full BBL. I made it very, very clear to him that was the one procedure I did not want. I was happy with my backside. And it wasn't until after all this happened with Hillary and I reached out to my attorney, and when they pulled medical records, that's where they found out he did, in fact, give me the full BBL. And every follow-up appointment, every time I addressed concerns, it was, oh, you're just swollen. You didn't get that done. It'll go down. It's only because the lipo I did on your back, it makes it look like your butt's a little bigger. But yeah, he lied over and over and over, and then gave me the one procedure I did not want.
You're saying a BBL, I assume you're talking about a Brazilian butt lift?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on just a moment. To Dr. Terry DeBrow, star of Botched and 7-Year Stitch and author, have you ever seen the movie with Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep? It's called Death Becomes Her.
Yes, I have.
They're also married to a doctor, and he performs all this plastic surgery on them. Long story short, it just, that scared me away from plastic surgery, and it's not even real. But did you hear what Brandi Fitzsimmons just said? I mean, to go into a plastic surgery with the lady, Brandi, and her come out with a Brazilian butt lift that she did not want. What is a Brazilian butt lift?
So a BBL, and by the way, I just want to make it very clear that my opinions are based on what I've heard in the media. Okay, so I don't have firsthand information about exactly what this doctor did. So I just want to state that qualification, okay, because I don't want to think that I'm saying anything particular about the case based on knowledge I have. All right. A Brazilian butt lift is where you take fat, one part of the body, you transfer into the buttock. It's a very specific procedure. It happens to be the most dangerous procedure in plastic surgery with the greatest rate of fatality. In fact, 1 in 3,000 patients die from a Brazilian buttock lift. And there's been a moratorium on doing them. To do it, if it's true, if a Brazilian buttock lift was done on a patient without their consent, well, that's battery. Okay, that's obviously a violation of the standard of care. That's medical negligence. But in this case, if I may, and not to disagree with anyone, I'm not sure this case is really necessarily about an indictment of plastic surgery in general, but the fact that potentially in this case, the usual best practices and the standard of care was not followed. And in my opinion, this is a really big part of why you shouldn't operate on your relatives. You shouldn't take care of your family members because you lose professional perspective and you're not objective. And in this case, I promise you, had these procedures been done by a doctor, a different doctor who didn't necessarily know the patient, 99.99999 times out of 100, this would proceed safely. You'd have an alive patient. These are very, very common procedures. Whether you like them or not, I completely understand. Look, I'm a star of a TV show where we fix bad plastic surgery. So I'm the unique plastic surgeon. And then I agree with limiting the amount of plastic surgery people have.
Well, it's not so much that I don't like them, Dr. DeBrow. It's not that I don't like them. I mean, if it makes you feel better about yourself, do it. Fine. I'd be mad if you didn't. What I don't, I'm more fearful of them because my friend who loved my children, Joan Rivers, went in. I just had the children, and we talked about them all the time because she's such a loving mother, was such a loving mother to her daughter, Melissa. And the next thing you know, she's dead. Dead. Joan Rivers, dead. Why? She died after some minor fix. It was going to be nothing. And she was not guarded appropriately. They did not call 911 quickly enough, just like this. And you're saying that this victim, Hillary, who is the daughter of Marty, joining us today, 911 was not called in time. Is that the standard of care to which you are referring as being breached?
It's a massive violation. If it occurred, and I don't know the details exactly, I just read the news articles, but if it occurred, it's a massive, gross, extreme violation of standard of care, and it led for sure to the demise of this patient. Joan Rivers, unfortunately, is also a victim of this kind of familiarity breeds in negligence, because the doctors were the best doctors in the state, but because it was Joan Rivers, they weren't following best practices. They didn't remain objective. This is another reason why celebrities often have problems, because the doctors lose perspective or they just aren't as objective as they should be. So you have to be very careful. Look, plastic surgery is as dangerous as any other kind of surgery, and in some cases, with a BBL, Brazilian butt lift, way more dangerous. So if you can avoid plastic surgery, avoid it at all costs. I encourage you, if you're going to do it, go to board-certified physicians with a lot of gray hair or no hair, and think very carefully and read that consent form, because on the last word on that consent form is the word death, and it does happen, and not as infrequently as doctors might like to admit.
Hillary Ellington Brown is in trouble in an operating room for nearly half an hour before plastic surgeon hubby Dr. Ben Brown contacts 911 and begins to perform CPR. Why?
Why? That's what I want to know. Let's see what we can learn from the 911 call.
Hold on, stop. I need one person to talk to me. How old is the patient?
He is 32.
Okay. Is he breathing?
No, we're performing CPR right now.
Was he having a procedure or anything?
Yes, she was having a cosmetic procedure.
Okay.
Where's that? People on 911. Anybody find my stethoscope?
Straight back out to you, Marty Ellington. This is Hillary's dad. What goes through your mind when you're hearing that 911 call, and I believe that's her husband screaming in the background? That juxtaposed against the fact that, according to witnesses, there was a long delay that shouldn't have happened before they called 911.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, we know for a fact, kind of like the doctor mentioned, you know, there's no crash cart in the room. There's no defibrillator. There's no life-saving, you know, they don't have oxygen. The doctor don't even have a stethoscope, for God's sake. You know, and so, you know, no oximeter. They can't check our oxygen level. It's nothing but like having surgery in my office, for example. And, you know, if he had any of those things, you know, he's screaming for his stethoscope. He's screaming for, you know, find me oxygen. The medical assistant had only been on staff for 4 days. She knows nothing about where the oxygen is.
Okay, you're telling me something I didn't know, Mr. Ellington. Guys, with me is Hillary's dad, Marty Ellington. I knew that, according to witnesses and as our expert joining us today, our renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Terry DeBrow, said, we're going on based on what we've been told. And this isn't what the neighbor said to the neighbor over the fence and then they talked about it at the PTA meeting. This is what witnesses on the scene said. That
yes.
He waited. He waited to call 911. But I'm hearing from you that he didn't even have a stethoscope. I knew he didn't have a defibrillator, which you've got to have. But no, he didn't have oxygen lined up?
No oxygen. And you could even hear in the 911 call, he's screaming, somebody find my stethoscope.
Okay, joining us, and I started to go to her earlier, and I want to go right now, to Molly Barrows, investigative reporter, Pensacola News Journal, and host of the Gulf Coast Confidential. Molly, thank you for being with us. What do you know happened?
Well, according to numerous reports, including the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, they also referenced the Medical Examiner's Office report, as well as the Florida Department of Health. We're talking about multiple agencies that have been looking into this man for 7 months since Hillary died in November. So what we do know, according to Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, is that just like what you've been hearing, he failed to call 911, he didn't have life-saving equipment on hand, and as a result of that, and not following basic standard of care, like the doctor you interviewed said, that's exactly what the Florida Department of Health is saying. He didn't follow basic standard of care, and as a result, Hillary Brown coded and died. She had a cardiac arrest right there. They kept her on life support for about a week due to lidocaine toxicity. and she was showing signs of lidocaine toxicity during the procedures, Nancy. She was complaining she couldn't see. She was complaining she had saw orange. She was starting to twitch. She even got up and sutured herself. She sutured herself at one point, got up and walked around.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Molly Barrow is joining me from Pensacola News Journal. She sutured herself?
Yes, ma'am. She sutured herself. That's according to the Florida Department of Health investigation, which, by the way, came out after her death. So they started investigating when numerous other former patients of Ben Brown, like Brandy herself, came forward and were willing to share their stories. They had been complaining for a long time. There's currently litigation against Ben Brown for basically botched surgeries and doing what he wants when he wants. She's not even the only one, Brandy, who received an unconsented BBL. I talked to another woman, Jane Hawkins. She had the same thing. There's improper wound care. There are so many consistencies, Nancy, in this story between the victims. So when we came forward, I have an Excel sheet with almost 36 people who have come forward showing me pictures. My inbox looks like it's full of war wounds. So Hillary's death did bring to light and give a voice to a lot of people who just simply hadn't been heard before. So going back to her walking around, yeah, that's basically what the Department of Health was saying, as well as it came out in the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office report. So they've been playing in, you know, according to these reports, sort of fast and loose with these medical rules and laws. She took her own Tumescent solution, which is essentially anesthesia. She mixed it herself. They had two IV bags, I believe. Anyway, she ran out. He ran out of one, but after the tummy tuck procedure, the fat removal, she's so gorgeous. I don't even know where they found fat on her body. But anyway, it came out of her stomach. She got up, walked around at some point, then went back down, and then sutured herself. And I'm unclear if she sutured that cut on her tummy or if she sutured her arms, but she also had procedures done to her arms. She had procedures done to her face. And it was during those procedures that at one point she started to twitch, she started to see orange. These are all signs of lidocaine toxicity, according to the health department report. And he didn't stop. Instead, he asked for more, basically, anesthesia medicine when he ran out of that IV bag. So there's a lot to it, Nancy. I don't mean to run on and on and on, but it is just such a bizarre and sad case for so many people.
Molly Barrows, you are not running on and on, although I will state that what you told me makes me feel sick. To Marty Ellington, this is Hillary's father, your girl is dead. And her three children, between 4 and 8 years old, they're going to grow up without her. And for what? And Molly Barrows isn't just, again, stating what the neighbor told the neighbor over the fence and then they blurbed it out at the PTA meeting. This is according to the Sheriff's Department and other filings, people that are now coming forward. And it all ends up with Hillary dead.
There has been, from what we understand, there has been numerous complaints to the Department of Health. I don't know where these records go. People just on and on say it's just a dead end. You know, we've got people that are supposed to supervise these doctors and they feel like their voice is not being heard. You know, to jump ahead a bit, you know, we found a little bit of relief when they arrest the guy and he gets a $50,000 bail. I mean, he didn't steal a Snicker bar from 7-Eleven. We're talking about murder. $50,000, and the judge's response was because of his status in the community. We see what kind of status of the community this guy is. You know, we feel 100% violated. If the Department of Health would have paid attention to all these dozens and dozens of complaints, they would have investigated this guy far before there's no crash cart or no life-saving equipment.
Plastic surgeon Dr. Ben Brown arrested in the botched cosmetic surgery death of his wife. As the investigation continues, patients take to social media to voice complaints of infections, disfiguration, botched BBLs.
Speaking of bots, joining me, Dr. Terry Dubrow and Robert Crispin, don't go away because I need to talk to you about how to build this case. Dr. Dubrow is the star of Botched and of 7 Year Stitch. He's also an author and a renowned plastic surgeon. Did you hear what Molly Barrows just reported? Did you hear that? I didn't want to throw her off by interrupting her and asking questions, but Dr. Dubrow, I'm just a trial lawyer. Okay, I know how to try a murder case, but a lot of the things she was saying takes a doctor to explain. What in the hey? I've never heard of a patient suturing or sewing up herself, and she was mixing her own drugs and administered her own drugs before then he administered drugs, including lidocaine. What? Have you ever heard anything like it?
Unfortunately, Nancy, I have. I'm a certified expert for the California Medical Board, so I see and review all of these types of cases. And this, unfortunately, is more common than you may be aware, particularly when the patient is married to a plastic surgeon or works in a plastic surgeon's office. When you look at the vibe that you get in the narrative from the video you're showing in the pictures, there was sort of a generalized lack of seriousness in that practice. You say on her white coat, and I'm not victim shaming, I feel very sorry for the patient, I feel sorry for the doctor, I feel sorry for the father, of course, but Dr. Hillary's ASS, that's a joke on ASS in assistant, but there's sort of a generalized lack of seriousness in this practice, and she was having a very significant medical procedure done, not in an operating room, not even in a local procedure room, but in a med spa, it appears, where there's zero emergency equipment and zero ability to resuscitate the patient, making it even more important that you call for 911 help right away. But at the end of the day, this is more common than people realize. I currently have about 3 or 4 cases right now I'm reviewing for the medical board where a doctor had a patient who was doing very poorly, and one or two of them waited over 3 hours before calling rescue, before calling 911. And those doctors, one here in California, one in Arizona, have also been indicted and arrested for murder for the same reason, for such wanton disregard for normal medical practices, because that's what this is all about. You're not going to show malicious intent. I'm not a lawyer, but I do a lot of medical legal work. But this is so reckless and so beyond the pale that it's like an involuntary manslaughter.
You know, Dr. Dubrow, and I'm going to go to Robert Crispin on this, following up on what Dubrow said. Robert Crispin, famous private investigator, former federal task force for the U.S. Department of Justice, and worked extensively there in Florida with the DEA Miami Field Division, now owns Crispin Special Investigations. Robert, we heard earlier that, well, the dad told us he didn't even have a stethoscope. Then a reporter says that her vision was blurring, that she was seeing orange, that her legs were twitching. There was no defibrillator, no oxygen on hand. Now we find out about more questionable procedures. A lot of times when you get to a crime scene, you can find the front door wide open, the windows open, the back door open. Everybody's gone. Nobody wants to testify to what happened, right? How many times have you had to sneak around to a back door, like me as a prosecutor, and go, trying to beg people to tell me what they saw? How do you put Humpty Dumpty back together again? Do you really think these assistants and nurses are going to testify against the doctor?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. As a matter of fact, that 911 call shows the complete chaos that was going on inside that office at that time. Bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, all coming together to be gross negligence. Each one of these interviews, if I was the investigator on this particular case, each one of my interviews geared towards every single employee in there, I want to know, has this happened before? Why doesn't he have this? Each one of these things are going to build up my negligence case against the doctor. Like the doctor says, that spoke a couple minutes ago, you don't work on your family. You just don't work on relatives. And I tell you that because on a flight coming back at 38,000 feet, I had a relative had an incident in flight, and I completely vapor locked. And I deal with emergency situations all the time. And I, for a minute, lost it, and I brought it back together. We did what we needed to do. We got the plane down, and my relative lived. So, you know, to put this case together, it's putting itself together. That Department of Health report is going to be a big deal in the prosecution. Those people in that room are going to be key witnesses to what happened. Listen, you can either be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. And I guarantee you, each one of those assistants have lawyered up and they've gotten to the point where the lawyer has come forward and go, my client will talk to you. What do you want to talk? The assistant will talk to you. What do you want to know? In lieu of charging my assistant, because don't forget, he didn't do this all on himself. These nurses, these certified nurses, these licensed nurses, they have a duty to react as well. They have a duty to report as well. So this case is going to systematically go through court, and a conviction is easily taken in this particular case, easily.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Back to Brandy Fitzsimmons, a former patient of Dr. Ben Brown. And let me assure you, we invited him on. He did not want to answer your questions, Brandy, or mine. When you confronted him about performing a Brazilian butt lift on you, which you specifically did not want, what did he say?
I didn't have one. It was over and over. My husband was at, I think, every appointment except one. And every time we would question it, he would assure me that I did not have one, that it was just swelling and that I've gained weight.
Did you or did you not? How have you confirmed that you actually had a Brazilian butt lift?
It's in my medical records. When they pulled the medical records and it shows the 1,100 milliliters, I think that's the right, into each buttock.
Okay, hold on just a moment. To Dr. Terry DeBrow, what is she saying? Explain it to me.
So what she's saying is that this doctor took fat from one part of the body, was supposed to put it in, it sounds like the hip dips on the sides, and ended up putting it right into the buttock instead, in a very large volume in the buttock, if what she's saying is true, 1,100 cc's. So that is a Brazilian butt lift. If it was not consented for, it was unauthorized, it is medical battery. It's one of the worst things you can do. It's called a never event in plastic surgery. I think it's important to understand, obviously, the practices of this doctor were not where you'd want them to be. There was sort of a lack of seriousness.
Dr. DeBrow, of course, I'm just a JD. You're the MD. But you keep saying his practices were not what you want them to be. She's dead. In my world, that's murder. Now, earlier you said something about no malicious intent. You don't have to have malicious intent. In other words, I walk into the studio where you are right now and I go, I'm going to kill this guy. I've had it with him. And I take a gun out and I say, I'm shooting you dead. That is explicit evidence that I have nefarious intent, known under the law as mens rea, the intent to perform the act. And I pull the trigger. You don't need that under the law to prove a murder. Number one, it could actually be a murder one under extreme abandoned and malignant heart. For instance, I take my car, my minivan, and I drive it to an outdoor festival at 90 mph and I plow down five people and kill them. No, I didn't say I'm going to kill A, B, C, D, and E, but I did such an abandoned and malignant act with no care for human life that it equals murder under the law. It's called a depraved heart. Or I could go with felony murder. He's committing a felony and somebody dies during that felony, whether he intended it or not. There's just so many ways to go with a criminal charge here.
No, I don't disagree. And I'm certainly not going to argue the law with someone who's an expert like you. But at the end of the day, when it's done, when there's sort of a death in the practice of medicine, okay, typically the doctor is trying to do something positive rather than something negative. But in this case, when you add up all of the wanton disregard for normal medical practices, the level of recklessness, I agree with you, could rise to a very high level of sort of a murder charge. But this case, in many ways, the sum total of the factors involved in this case rise to the level of severe incompetence. He knew or should have known that these things added together would have led potentially to a mortality like it did. So it's a very high level of involuntary manslaughter, I would think.
The wife of a prominent Florida plastic surgeon dies in an operating chair during multiple procedures performed by her husband. What went wrong?
While the doctor would not come on and speak with us, a crisis management public relations team did issue a statement saying Brown denies all accusations of wrongdoing. Okay, no stethoscope, no oxygen, no defibrillator. You know what? To Marty Ellington, this is Hillary's dad. The other day, my children went on a college tour with their school. And I went there, over their objections, of course, when they left on the bus. I went right up to the bus driver and started a conversation and went, I had to smell his breath to make sure he hadn't been drinking before my children get in that bus and drive away. He smelled fine. That said, this guy was no more prepared to do surgery if it's true he didn't have a stethoscope, oxygen, or defibrillator. And if it's true they delayed calling 911, it makes me wonder, Mr. Ellington, did they not want authorities to find out about any wrongdoing, such as her administering her own drugs and suturing, stitching up her own self? That's not right. Why delay? Why the delay? Her life could have been saved. When you are hearing all of this, Marty, what is going through your mind? How are her children without their mommy?
Well, we try to shelter from a lot of it. We had to break the news to them. It's kind of hard. We told them that mommy was sick and it didn't look good. And this was just before she passed away, because we knew inevitably what was going to happen. From the media, you know, we kind of keep it away, and I'm sure that as smart as they are, our friend Google is going to, they're going to search one day and the truth's going to come out. We're going to have an emergency meeting, I guess. But for an 8-year-old, more than anything, to have to compartmentalize, you know, the loss of her mother, and she's not getting information, she's not asking, you know, that breaks your heart. You know, when you talk about his care, and we talked about nurses, none of the people on his staff were nurses. Nobody was registered care. The most skilled person in the house, other than the doctor, was a medical assistant on her fourth day. There was no one there that could administer medical care. I mean, you know, Nancy, this goes on and on, from the care and negligence. They, you know, they had a volatile relationship. So, you know, quickly when I called Molly, it was an eye opener that the second day we were in the hospital, and he says to me that he's going to close his practice. He's going to file bankruptcy. He's going to file for long-term disability and sell everything he's got and buy a new vehicle before his credit tanks. You know, how do you have the wherewithal when, you know, we're faithful people. We're praying every day that she's going to pull through. And he's already laid out a sequence of events that he's going to skate free from this, you know. I didn't want to go down a rabbit hole, but quickly I called Molly and I said, you know, there could be more to this thing than just, oops, I messed up.
Guys, if you agree with me that there was a huge, huge dereliction of duty by the Department of Health, you know who you can call? Okay, you got to get them away from a microphone for 5 minutes. But the governor of Florida, DeSantis, 850-717-9337. Let's see what he'll do. 850-717-9337. The AG there, Ashley Moody, 866-966-7226. Let your voice be heard. Stand up for Hillary. She can't speak for herself. Her children are babies. They cannot speak for her. We wait as justice unfolds. And let me remind everyone that as of right now, Dr. Ben Brown has not been accused of any crime such as homicide. He's not a POI, person of interest in a homicide. Thank you for being with us. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.